If you want to pull out your sermon outline and open up your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4 as we continue our journey through this book, trust again that it's been insightful for you and that the Lord's encouraged your heart. And last week we began chapter 4, which is the shift in the book where we talk about the practical application of the reality of what Christ has done in us and through us and positioning us in Christ and declaring us to be holy and the birth of the church. God created a new person through the church, bringing together the Jews and the Gentile to make a new people. And we as Christians are part of that new people. Amen? Everybody say, I'm set apart. You are. I trust that that you believe that and that you understand how set apart you are. I mean, you are the light to the world. You are the salt of the earth. I mean, we are different. We are in the world, but we're not of the world. We are different. We all know that we're different. Some of us act so strange that people think we are different. But we're different because the power of God lives and dwells inside of us. Amen. The Spirit of God lives in you. You are set apart. And so we're just going to pray and look at verses 13 through 19. This morning's title is Growth Spurt, and hopefully that makes sense as we go along. So, Father God, we just open up our hearts to you. We ask, God, that you would enlighten our hearts, God, enlighten our understanding, that we can see you in the Word this morning. We would know how to apply this Word to our life in the practical sense of our everyday life and in relating one to another as a church body. Lord, we just give you the glory, and we just say that we're ready to hear from you this morning, and our hearts are soft towards you. We turn our attention now to you, and we ask for you to come and teach us in Jesus' name. Amen. Ephesians 4, starting with verse 13. Picking up where we left off last week with verse 12. Till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. Verse 16, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their hearts, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanliness with greediness. Last week we looked at verses 1 through 12, and let's go back to verse 1, just as a quick review. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with longsuffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. So last week we had a lot of fun looking at those four aspects that Paul tells us. That now, out of everything I've told you, you used to walk after the father of disobedience, because you were a son of disobedience. You used to walk after those things in the flesh. And he tells us in verse 1, but because of what I've told you of who you are now as holy and set apart, now I want you to walk worthy of that position that you hold in Christ. And he tells us that in order to do that, what that looks like is that we walk in lowliness and gentleness, that we're long-suffering, that we're patient with one another, where we bear with one another in love, not bearing with one another with, you know, frustration in our hearts, but we walk in humility, we walk in meekness one to another. And And that's part of that call that God has for us. And the point and the reason is, if you remember, I said, you know, we don't need to ask ourselves, what am I supposed to do? We all know we're supposed to be humble. We all know we're supposed to be polite to each other. We're supposed to be kind to one another. We know that. The question was, why should we? And the answer was because it edifies the church and it lifts God up. It reveals who Christ is, okay? And so in verse 13, he continues on to say that till we all come. So in other words, keep doing all these things that I'm telling you. Keep equipping the saints. Keep encouraging one another. Keep walking in humility. Keep doing these things. Verse 13, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Paul uses this phrase, you know, according to the grace that God has given to us, according to. So in other words, out of his great wealth of grace and mercy, that he poured that out onto us. And so Paul is telling us, keep going, church. Keep going. Keep doing these things until you continue to grow until the fullness of Christ, until that perfect man, until we come to understand God. There's more for each and every one of us to understand about ourselves, understand about who God is, and to grow in that. And that's a journey, isn't it? And sometimes I'm going to fall flat on my face. And that's where I'm going to need you to be long-suffering with me and be patient with me and don't give up on me. But you encourage me and at times challenge me and at times carry me. That you do that, and we do that one to another as a body of Christ, this new people set apart, so that we can all come to the fullness of Christ. Because even as I make mistakes and I fall and you go through that relationship and that commitment level that says, I'm sticking with you. As you do that, guess what? You're growing and you're maturing in Christ as well. God is revealing things in your heart. God is revealing things within you. And then together we grow, and together God is edified and God is glorified, and the church is built up instead of torn down. Verse 14, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men, and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. So as Paul says, it's time for you to grow together as a church, as a body of believers, as the people set apart to God. It's time that we grow together to the fullness of Christ, instead of being torn apart, instead of bringing dissension, instead of bringing these things that come in and then carry us all away. You know, you throw, you know, when you go fishing, you throw your line out there and you got the bobber on your fishing pole, and it sits there, and the waves just kind of move around until you put the anchor on it, and it kind of sits there, right? But we've all seen things in the ocean or out, you know, go to one of our great Nebraska lakes or ponds or whatever you want to call them, and things get moved around by whatever, you know, the wind blows the water and it just starts to, you know, the current takes it and it just floats around. It doesn't care where it's going. It's just, and that's what a lot of Christians unfortunately do. We whatever the new teaching is, we just go after that new teaching, and then 6 months later there's another new teaching, we go after here. But we have to have that anchor that's like on the anchor of that fishing line that keeps it from getting too far out. I mean, there are some good teachings that come along, and there are some, you know, there's nothing new under the sun. I mean, as new as you want to be, it's only new relative to our life experience. But we've got to be so solid in the Word of God and so rooted and anchored in who God is and what he's done. We've got to know chapters 1, 2, and 3. We've got to know 1, 2, and 3. Because if we don't know these three chapters, then we will just be tossed around to and fro. We've got to have the anchor of what Christ has done in us and who we are and what God has done for us and the victory we already have in Christ. If we don't know that, we're just tossed to and fro because somebody comes along and they have a great bumper sticker phrase or a great whatever, and it's packaged really nice, and we just get swept away to that thing. And maybe those intentions are right, and there's a good, you know, desire behind it, but it's just wrong. We have to stay balanced and true to the Word of God and what it says and what God says for us. But it's interesting that in verse 14, he says that we need to be so solid, built upon the Word of God, that we're not carried away by the trickery of men. In other words, there are people out there who are walking around with deception, and they know it. And their desire is to destroy the work of God. And if we are just walking around, just, you know, not built upon the foundation, not set apart as God has declared us to be, and this person comes in who has the wrong motive, who has, you know, a false doctrine or a false teaching, and they know it's false, and they're proclaiming it. If we don't understand that, then we're just going to get swept away by that. And so Paul tells us what we can do as a church to make sure that that doesn't happen. That's pretty important for us to understand, so that way we can walk this thing out in a practical sense, so that way this church does not get tossed to and fro. But we remain solid and steadfast, immovable, that we realize what Christ has done. And when we hear something, we take it, we line it up to the Word of God. And if it's different than the Word of God, then we say thanks, but no thanks. Amen? The Word of God is truth. Your experiences are not truth. Because what happens if my experience is different than the Word of God? The Word of God is still true. The Word of God is always true. So my experience, though it may be a good experience, or it may have been a horrible experience, my experience is not truth. My perception isn't true. It might be true for me, might be what I think it to be true, but my perception isn't always true. So we got to know what the Word of God says so we can live our life. And Paul tells us, here's what you do. In verse 15, he says, "But speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ." So the answer to the question of how do we keep from being tossed around to and fro, the answer is in verse 15. And it is that we speak truth in love. That we speak truth, but we speak it with love. Paul says, don't get tossed around to and fro. Work together. Equip one another. Walk in all these things we talked about last week, the lowliness, the gentleness, the humility. You know, be polite to one another. Being long-suffering. Bearing with one another. Equip one another. Encourage one another. Don't get tossed around to and fro. And the way you stop that is to speak truth with love, so that we can come to the fullness of Christ, who is the head. Spiritual growth comes from Christ. Christ is the head. He's the beginning. He's the one that supplies it. And so as we submit to Christ, who is the head, Christ then brings spiritual growth into our lives. But we can't have spiritual growth in our life. You will never grow spiritually in your life unless you have application of what you've learned. If you don't have application, you do not have growth. I can go to the gym and I can watch people work out and I can read books on how to work out. But until I sit down and actually lift the weights, I will not get any bigger than I am already, which is pretty big. Amen. Thank you. Some of you are like, wow, Jason, he actually goes to the gym. What are you talking about? I don't go to the gym. That's the point. I can't have spiritual. I can't have physical growth. My biceps won't get any bigger until I actually start picking up weights and start doing some curls. I can watch it. I can hang out with a bunch of bodybuilders. I can eat the right food. I can read a lot of books about it. I can watch TV and movies about it. But until I do it and there's application, then I won't grow spiritually. And Paul is telling us the application to this, verse 15, is to speak truth in love. When we do that, we will have a growth spurt in our life. Maybe you remember your growth spurts in your life. I had just a few of them. Some of you had more than I did. I remember, you know, parents, we see this all the time. And working with kids and in the school world, you kind of see this. The first day of school, the pants all fit, you know. Maybe they're a little baggy because mom and dad have realized we're going to buy these a little big so they can grow or last. And then usually by around March or April, they're walking around, you know, like this, right? You know. And the kids don't realize there is all. And mom and dad are like, I ain't buying any more jeans because, you know, summer's here. They're going to be wearing shorts all the time. But they have those growth spurts, right? They go to bed and they wake up in the morning and they're like 12 inches taller. And you're like, wow. And I'm telling you this morning that for us to have a growth spurt spiritually, to have spiritual maturity, we've got to wrap our hands and our brains around verse 15 and ask God, God, how can I practically walk out speaking truth and love? It's essential to our church. If we don't speak truth and love, then with every false doctrine that comes along, we'll just jump on the bandwagon and go for a ride. If we don't speak truth and love, then there'll be hurts and wounds and unforgiveness, and we won't be sensitive to each other, and we'll bring dissension, destruction upon the church. And we won't walk in the fullness of Christ because we're just injuring ourselves. So this morning, I want to kind of camp out at verse 15 a little bit and look at how can we practically speak truth in love. A few years ago, we read a book as a church, The Grace and Truth by Randy Alcorn, and just a simple little quote from this book. It says, "Truth without grace breeds a self-righteous legalism that poisons the church and pushes the world away from Christ." I want to say that again. Truth without grace breeds a self-righteous legalism that poisons the church and pushes the world away from Christ. Grace without truth breeds moral indifference and keeps people from seeing their need for Christ. Grace without truth breeds moral indifference and keeps people from seeing their need for Christ. So we got to have truth and grace. And in the book, if you read it, you might remember. If not, I would encourage you to get it. It's a small book. Didn't take much to read. But he talks about his dog, and his dog had the tennis balls, and he'd play with the tennis balls, but he couldn't pick up both at the same time in his mouth. And whenever he did, and one would shoot out. And so he'd drop the one and grab the other. And that's a lot of times what we do is we walk around with truth, and then we kind of drop truth, and we go grab the love ball, and we put the love in our mouth, and we walk in love. And then we drop that, and we go pick up truth. And this is not what this is. Truth and love are together. Truth and love are supposed to be together. We see this a lot just naturally. Most people are walking one or the other. Okay? One person is usually a truth person, and the other person is usually a love person. And sometimes there's clashes with that. But they're supposed to blend together. If you are one, you may have married the opposite, right? Truth and love. Because the two of you make a complete person, Truth and love. Paul is telling us, church, you need to walk in both truth and love at the exact same time. Here's my application for you. And I'm giving you application before the sermon's even done. Here's my application for you. Wherever you fall on the scale of truth and love, if you're way over here on truth, I'm going to encourage you to take two steps towards love. And if you're way over here on love, I'm going to encourage you to take two steps to truth. So when you're making decisions, when you're interacting with people within your family or at work or in the community here at church, and somebody does something and how you normally would respond, I want you to stop. I want you to think, I'm going to take two steps in the opposite direction to find that balance so I can walk in both at the same time. That seems very simple and fair enough to do. Grab your Bibles. Let's go to John chapter 8. Again, we won't look up all these verses, so you can look up some this week as you dive a little deeper. We're doing a study of Ephesians, and all the verses about truth are from the book of John. Go figure. John chapter 8, verse 32. Familiar verse of scripture, but I want you to read it for yourself. Jesus says, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free." You will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And these other verses, if you were to go on and read, you will see that Christ is truth. Grace and truth came through Christ. That's what John chapter 1 says, John 14, 6. Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." You shall know the truth. In other words, you shall know Christ, and Christ will set you free. So when we speak truth, we're speaking Christ. That might be a revelation for some. When we're speaking truth, we're speaking Christ. It's not about speaking what is right. It's about revealing and speaking Christ to that situation, to that circumstance. When I walk in truth, I'm walking in Christ, because that Christ is truth. So when I walk in Christ, I'm walking in truth. When I speak truth to somebody, it's not about being right or giving the correct facts. It's about revealing Christ. And as I speak truth, as I live in truth, people see Christ. Truth is what sets us free. You shall know the truth. You shall know Christ, and Christ will set you free. The truth will set you free. Now flip over to John 14. Sorry, I should have told you to stay in John. John chapter 14, verse 16. Again, Jesus is speaking. John 14, 16. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. And who's the other helper? The other helper is defined in verse 17. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, and he dwells with you and will be in you. So Jesus is praying. He says, I'm going to pray and the Father to send another helper, which literally means another one like me, walking in the same spirit, walking from the same reality. God himself is truth. The Father is truth. The Son is truth. The Holy Spirit is truth. And Jesus says, I'm going to come, and the Holy Spirit will come and equip you. And he is the Spirit of truth, and he will lead you in all truth. He says he has been with you, but he will be in you. Talking about Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit came and fell on them, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. That now the Spirit was now in them. Whereas before the Spirit was out here, Jesus spoke from the outside in, Luke tells us. And then in Acts, we see the work of God from the inside out through the Spirit. So the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, comes and he dwells in us. So therefore, as a believer in Christ, you have the Spirit of truth inside of you. Amen? So you can walk in truth. And as you walk in truth, you're walking in Christ, revealing who Christ is. And the fullness of Christ is revealed. The church is edified. It's great things. Typically, people who walk in truth are people that are focused on right and wrong. Things are black and white. This is right or wrong. You said this, but I don't care what you meant, but this is what you said, and it wasn't truth. And we get hung up on that. And I'm telling you this morning, I'm encouraging you to take two steps towards love. Speak truth, speak Christ, but do it in with love. Don't say, I'm going to deal with this in truth, and then come back and then say, now I'm going to apply love to it. They are to be mixed together. Equal parts, truth and love. And as we speak truth in love, it keeps us from being carried away, tossed to and fro by the trickery of men or by the deceitfulness of the enemy. And the way this works is that when you see me doing something wrong, you can come and speak truth to me and say, Jason, that is wrong. I think that is wrong. That could be wrong. If you come to me and you're rude to me about it, and though you may be correct, but you're a hard nose to me and you're just, name calling and all these horrible things, and your words may be right. And you may have a point, but I'm not going to be able to receive it. And if I can't receive it, then I'm not going to be able to apply it to my life. It's just going to add more hurts. I'm going to build a stronger wall between me and whoever and say, no, I ain't receiving what you have to say to me. Because your motive towards me is not love. But you come and you speak, you put your arm around me and you say, you know what, Jason, I think this is wrong. This isn't truth. Well, what's truth? Truth is Christ. So show me. In the Word, show me in Christ where this isn't right. If you see me, and the Bible tells us to do this all the time. We looked at one a few weeks ago. If you see your brother sinning, those of you who are spiritual, those of you that are in Christ, go to them. But be careful, at least you're tempted in the same way they are. So we come together, we come to that person with humility. That's love. And we speak truth. Some of you don't like to do that. Some of you don't like to speak truth And the older I get, I find the less I like to speak truth. I don't know if it's wisdom. I don't know if I've tried to balance too much and gone too far into the love side. I don't know. But not anymore. Speaking truth in love. But some people are so, because, oh, if I say this, then it might cause conflict. Or if I say this, then I might hurt their feelings. Let me ask you a question. If you saw your friend standing on the side of the road, say you were just driving by, you saw them, they were standing there, and their shoes and their pants were on fire, what would you do? You stop your car, you run out, you tackle them, and stop, drop, and roll thing, right? Your pants are on fire. You're on fire. What are you doing? Well, no, I wouldn't do that because I might embarrass them. It might make a scene. They might get mad at me. What are you doing? In no other area do we do this. You see your child getting ready to run out to the street and tell them to stop. Why? Because you love them, so you speak truth to them. And don't touch the hot stove. Don't run with scissors. Don't put your brother's head in the toilet. It's all these things. It's just, I love you. Don't do this. That's why we speak truth, isn't it? I speak truth to you because I love you, and I don't want you to get carried away by a false doctrine. I speak truth to you because I love you. I want you to grow in Christ. Some people like to be on truth patrol, though. They just like to sit around and say, oh, that's wrong, that's wrong, that's wrong, that's wrong. There's no love there. Therefore, that truth isn't received. Jesus came and spoke truth. What was the truth? The truth is you're lost and you're going to hell. That's truth. Well, where's the love? Come on, Jesus. That's kind of rude. Love does not ignore truth. That's not love. Love does not ignore the conflict. That's not love. Because if you love somebody, you do what it takes to help them to grow. Whatever it takes. And anything apart from Christ is not growth. Anything apart from Christ doesn't help. Amen? So if Christ is truth, then we've got to bring Christ into the situation. And we do it in love. Because real love will cause that. We have this phrase called tough love, right? Tough love. I would like to change that to truth love. Truth love. Could that be a phrase that we use around here as family? Truth love. Not tough love. Truth love. Truth with love. Love with truth. Speaking truth with love. Truth and love. Saying what is right. Saying what maybe needs to be said. But doing it in love. One of the things that I've learned in my own personal experience is that I can receive what God tells me. And God speaks truth, doesn't he? God usually doesn't whitewash truth. God is truth. He speaks truth. And I can receive that truth from God, as painful as it is sometimes, as bad as it may make me feel. But sometimes it's hard to receive truth from other people because the motive of other people isn't always love like it is with God. That's why we have phrases like people won't follow you, people won't know how much you care or people won't follow you until they know how much you care. So if I'm walking in love with people, then when the truth needs to be spoken, then truth can be received because they know my motive towards them is love. My motive isn't to destroy. My motive isn't to bring down. My motive isn't to raise myself up by pushing them down. The motive is I love you. I want the best for you. And here is truth. Here's my opinion. You don't need to know my opinion. My opinion doesn't matter much. What matters is, what's the word of God say? What's truth in this? And as we walk in that truth, speaking that truth, revealing who Christ is, walking in the spirit of truth, Christ is truth, the Holy Spirit is truth, the Holy Spirit will lead us into truth, John 17, 17 says that God's word is truth. So let us follow Paul's encouragement in verse 15 to speak truth in love. And these verses under love on your sheet, all of them say that God is love. That God is love. So again, if I'm walking in love, I'm walking in who God is. Truth isn't about, Jesus wasn't walking around saying, well, you're wrong, you're a sinner, you're wrong, you're a sinner, you're wrong, you're a sinner. He says, you're wrong, you're a sinner. And he takes a towel and he wraps it around his waist and he gets down and he washes the disciples' feet. That's love. Jesus says, you're wrong, you're a sinner, you're going to hell. You're wrong, you're a sinner, you're going to hell. You have turned your back upon God the Father. You were born with a sin nature. That is truth. But then he spread his arms out and he hung on a cross. That is love. Even to the mockery of the people that he was dying for. Christ is love. And when I walk in love, I reveal who Christ is. But love isn't just sitting around saying, oh, you guys have it so horrible. And but God loves you. You know, God in heaven loves you. John 3:16, God loves you. God does love you. He loves you so much, he told you need to repent of your sin. God loves you so much, and he revealed his love to you and showed his love to you that he says, if you will come to me, I will forgive you of your sins. But if you don't come to me, I won't forgive you of your sins. That's truth. Even though God loves you, there's truth. So Paul says, church, work together. Verse 12, you are equipped. You've been gifted. All of us gifted in different giftings. Verse 12, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And he goes on and says, you know, don't be tossed to and fro, verse 15, but speaking truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head of the church, or the head, Christ. Verse 16, from whom, and here's how it all applies to us. Okay, we're going to get real practical. From whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body. That every part does its share causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. So Paul first gives us a very negative example. He says you're tossed to and fro. You're like a little child. You're immature. But then he tells us how this applies. He says, speak truth and love as a body that's being knit together. And it's like the whole connection. And it's the elbow. It's the whole connection. We're all joined together. And the elbow does its part. I can move my arm. And it causes growth. The head, the beginning, Christ, brings spiritual growth into me, into my life. And, you know, wherever I'm at on the body of Christ, I do my part and it causes growth. I grab the weights. I'm dealing with a tribulation, a trial. I'm grabbing the weights and the elbow does its part. It causes growth. The elbow moves. It causes growth. So in the realm of the church, I do my part and I can help the church grow. You want church growth? Do your part. You want spiritual church growth? Do your part. What is your part? Well, walk worthy of the call of God in your life. Verse 2, the four things we talked about last week. Speak truth and love. Verse 15. And if we do that, the church will be knit together in unity. We'll experience the fullness of Christ in our life. As you and I walk out truth, as you and I walk out Christ, and as you and I walk out love, as you and I walk out Christ, and as we speak truth, as we speak Christ, in Christ with love, we can edify one another, building each other up, strengthening one another, growing with one another, so that the body, the church, God's holy people, will be edified in love. Verse 17, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord that you should no longer walk. And now he's going to give us a reflection, a reminder from clear back from earlier in this book and a reminder of even verse 1. He says, this therefore I say and testify in the Lord that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. Remember how Paul has been praying that their hearts would be enlightened? He doesn't want them, this church, to become, you know, darkened to the things of God, to become blinded, but instead that the heart would be open. Verse 19, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness and to walk all clean and uncleanliness and greediness. So Paul's telling us we got to walk based upon our position in Christ. And what does that look like? The four things last week, and then the main thing today, walk in truth and love. Walking that out, speaking truth and love, speaking truth and love. So this week and from here on out, when you're given an opportunity, as you would naturally respond to a circumstance, to a situation, I would encourage you, as the Holy Spirit would lead you, to take a minute and say, how should I respond to this? Take two steps in the opposite direction of how you normally would respond. To find that balance, to walk after the Holy Spirit's leading. The way you respond to your children, how would you initially respond to that circumstance? Take a moment and respond two steps over. You know, if you typically would just put your arms around and be like, oh, honey, it's going to be okay. And here's some milk and cookies. And it's all fluff and muff and marshmallows and all these things. Then take a couple steps to truth and say, and ask, you know, again, according to leading the Holy Spirit. Do you have any responsibility to how come Johnny did this thing to you? Do you have any responsibility why this person, you know, are you accountable to anything? Well, yeah, you know, because deal with that. But if you're the opposite, if you initially respond in truth, well, you're wrong and you just go off on that and everything's, you know, razors and sharp edges and all these things, then take a moment, you know, take two steps towards love. Again, it's Christ. Love doesn't compromise truth. Just the way that it's revealed, it's the heart behind it. Love is to serve. So how can I serve this person and yet at the same time speak Christ to them? How can I speak Christ to them by serving them? That's truth and love. Let's bow our heads this morning. Father, we just say thank you for your word. God, and we just pray that each and every one of us would have a growth spurt spiritually. God, we would just mature in Christ and grow in the things of Christ and grow being matured in what you've done in us and through us. Now, Father, I just ask, God, this morning that you would just help us in this area of truth and love. Lord, you came and as you are the perfect example, you came and your first words were to repent, for the kingdom of God is near. Repent. There's truth there. There's application that needs to happen. You are in need of a savior. You need to repent. There's truth. Your first miracle you did was to turn water into wine to save the reputation of a person. You came in compassion and you did that. But the very next thing that you did was you made a whip and you went to your father's house and you spoke truth there. And you kicked the people out that were making your father's house a den of thieves. Truth and love. You're the perfect example of that. And God, as you have called us into your holiness and you've set us in Christ and the Spirit of God dwells inside of us, Lord, we can walk that same thing out. We can be that example because you declared us to be your ambassadors. You've commanded us to go and to make disciples of all men. And Lord, we can't do that if we're not walking in truth and love. And Lord, as a church, if we don't walk in truth and love, Lord, we'll either just try to meet everybody's feelings and emotions and just be all kind to everybody and not hold anybody accountable. Lord, we'll just remain immature Christians. But God, if we just walk in truth with no love, then we'll just cause so much dissension and so much heartache and so much bitterness and pain that we won't be able to grow because we'll just remain immature Christians. Oh God, give us the balance to walk in truth and love in our families, in our friendships, in our community, at our workplaces. Lord, the way that we respond to our boss at work, Lord, may we May we find that balance to respond in truth and love to them. Same with our children and here as a church. For the purpose of edifying you, God, growing together in Christ. Lord, I'm so thankful for this church and being able to grow and my spiritual growth that I've had here because people came along and they spoke truth to me with a heart of love. Lord, I'm thankful for those times. God, may it continue. Lord, may we grow spiritually like we've never grown. And we have that growth spurt, Lord, where we just look back like 2 months from today and say, wow, look how much our church has grown. Look at how much more mature we are as Christians. Look at how much more application we have in our life. Because we, as a body of believers, speak truth and love. If there's anybody here today that has never received God's love, his work of forgiving us of our sins through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross. Maybe you're here this morning and you're questioning, does God even love you? The answer is yes. There's also the truth that says you need him in your life. And if you've never accepted him, if you've never bowed your knee and surrendered your life to him this morning, as we close, I invite you to come forward. We'd love to pray with you. I'd love to introduce you to Christ. You can receive sins forgiven and life eternal. That you can receive what Herb's brother received, and that's eternal life through Jesus Christ by accepting him into your life. The rest of us, I encourage all of us, I challenge us all to walk truth and love this week with those that we come in contact with. In Jesus' name, amen.